Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 20th of April, 2020. I'm Steve in Leon C in Essex. And on today's show, we've got Carl Gwillem, who is from which podcast, Carl?
So at the moment, then, it is the Coys podcast. So, you know, if you haven't had a listen yet, then get yourselves over there. Myself, Dan Tracy and James McCarthy. And we try to get a regular guest on. And we've had some of the big name Spurs players come and give us a guest slot every now and then. So, yeah, really good and well worth a listen.
And you do it so often, you forgot that I'm Steve and not Dan. But that's, you know, we can forgive you for that. It's
all right. Did I just call you?
Yeah, but that's not
Dan.
That's fine.
Oh, no, sorry, Steve.
And I'm trying to get Dan on as well. He's gonna come on and do his My Spurs Journey. Oh, I forgot to say, this is My Spurs Journey, the latest series of episodes where we're looking back over our Spurs careers and the ups and the downs and the funny bits and the bits that made us cry. So let's get straight into it. I mean, in terms of your podcasting, where did that all start?
So I think, obviously, you know, just started listening to a few, you know, yourself was one of the main ones at the time, along with the Fighting Cock guys. Yeah. And just really love listening and the views and that, you know, and the great thing about the pods is that, you know, you can be sitting there listening. And if you're disagreeing, you're shouting at your phone, aren't you? And getting worked up with someone's opinion and you really want to put your opinion across at that time. And just thought I'd love to get involved in this. So, you know, the eSpurs pod was about at the time that Dan was running. I think that was just after Ricky and the guys had kind of moved on from there. They were looking to kind of revamp it a bit. So put a message across to Dan and it all just started from there, really.
Brilliant. Okay. So, look, let's get into the questions. My Spurs Journey, Carl Gwillem. First question is, who is your favourite football club?
Oh, it is the one and only Tottenham Hotspur. As much as they put me through the ringer over the last 42 years, there'll only be one club for me, mate.
And why is that then?
It's just there in your blood, isn't it? You know, my dad, all our family are Spurs mad, and obviously all go regularly. My dad was massively, you know, got into Spurs in a big way. We lived about 10-minute walk from the ground at that point when I was born. And once you've been once, that's it. It's just there. And I've passed that on to my little ones now so that they'll have to suffer as much as I have over their lifetime. But I'm sure it'll be worth it for them.
So are you season ticket or you get tickets when you can?
So I used to be season ticket, now just a member at the moment. You know, was offered season tickets at the new stadium, but at £2,000 a pop, they were a little bit out of my range to begin with. But, you know, hopefully, if things change, then maybe next season might actually have a look at getting back into getting a season ticket. But I think the good thing now is you can generally get a ticket for most games, can't you? So there's not too many you miss either via the ticket exchange or getting in there first as one of the members.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what is your favourite country?
So I'll go with the my wife is Colombian. So I would put that right up there now. You know, visited last year. Great country, great sights, great people. And I'd say, you know, if you're a scenery loving person, then unfortunately I've never seen somewhere more spectacular than some of the sights.
Food?
So I saw in Colombia while we were out there.
I always talk about the food in these countries. What's the food like in Colombia?
Yeah, you know, they're massively into their meat, you know, steaks and stuff like that, you know, chicken, pork, all that kind of thing. That they're massively into that. They love a bit of, you know, meat and rice. And everywhere you go in Colombia, on the streets, there'll be someone selling food somewhere. So you'll never go hungry when you go over there, because no matter where you are, you'll normally find someone who's got a barbecue kind of on the go with some meat and rice or something, potatoes that you can have, and it's always top quality.
Anything unusual?
The only thing I say, one thing I don't, they really like that for me is not for me. They have something called an alepa, and it's a circular, it's a basically a circular sort of bread type food. But for me, it just wasn't for me, Dan. You know, it, a bit like cardboard. Steve, sorry, I keep calling you Dan, don't I, Steve? I'm into work mode here, Steve.
Right,
but yeah, it's they butter it, but it just wasn't for me, mate. It was a bit like cardboard with butter on. But they love it, so fair play. If that's their thing, then I'd go with it. I tried it, but just not for me.
Not guinea pig.
No, nothing like that out there. Although you never know what came up, did you? Yeah, we did go to some interesting restaurants in our time out there, so you never know what we were being served. Yeah, could have been.
I think it's Peru that they serve guinea pig.
They certainly do.
You know, like on every menu, but oh dear.
No strange delicacies that I encountered out there in my time.
Do you know, I was thinking, this is totally nothing to do with Spurs, but you know, with what's going on at the moment and where it's all coming from, and they talk about these wet markets and the stuff that they eat in China, I reckon they won't do, I'm a celebrity. I reckon they won't be doing the eating of the
Bush Tucker
trials. I don't think they'll do that anymore, the eating stuff, because of all that. Anyway, just little...
It could change it, couldn't it? It could change the outlay of that show massively.
Yeah, these little thoughts that I have. Right, who's your most disliked footballer? Who can't you stand?
For me, and especially given the two clubs that he ended up playing for, it's Cesc Fabregas all day long. You know, I really can't stand him. It was just everything about him. You know, any time there was a foul, he's one of the ones that's straight in there in the referee trying to wind someone up. You know, the Battle of the Bridge, obviously, you know, that iconic moment where Dyer gives him the throat cut in as if to say, I'll see you in the changing rooms. But just that guy, just a real passionate dislike for him. You know, play for Arsenal, play for Chelsea, two of our most hated clubs. And he was just a pain when he played for both of them. I have to say, I just didn't like him, but there was also a begrudging element of the fact that he was also a really good footballer. And he kind of, you know, could run us ragged every now and then, but just can't stand the guy no matter where he plays. And the only one I'd say comes close now is Aspilicueta at the moment, because he's just as bad off, I think.
Aspilicueta, yeah. I'll tell you what, though, good player, isn't he?
Oh, that's the thing. Both of them, you know, as much as I dislike them, if they were wearing a Spurs shirt, I'd be more than happy, because they are both quality players, and on their day, they can win you games. So, yeah.
Marcus Alonso. I know, we don't like him and whatever. But as a player, whenever I see him, he always looks phenomenal, but Chelsea fans aren't sure about him. I find that a bit funny, but...
He's always managed to stick a free kick away against us, isn't he, Steve? Yeah. So, you know, he's a pain in our backside, that guy as well, definitely.
I think when you look at the current Spurs side, and we've got problems at fullbacks, we've always sort of had problems with fullbacks. And you look at Chelsea and probably Arsenal as well, and they always seem to have like really good fullbacks.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the guy who played for a few seasons.
But the one.
Big hard lad.
They had one guy, but they didn't like him in the end, but I think it was Ivanovic.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I loved him. I said to a Chelsea fan, I said, if he played for Spurs, he'd be one of my favourite players, because I've always thought he was brilliant for them, but they really disliked him towards the end of his time, and I couldn't understand it. I really couldn't.
Well, I tell you, can we please sort out our fullback situation where we can get... You know, these big, hard players in who try their hardest without making stupid comments constantly to the press and what have you. Which football club do you hate the most?
it's got to be Arsenal for me. You know, it'll always be Arsenal, and it always has been. You know, that rivalry that we've got with them, they're the one team that you always want to see lose. You know, the first team after our result, they're the first team I look to see how they've got on, and hoping that they've been beaten. I can understand at the moment, you know, there's some people that view Chelsea now as their most hated team. I can kind of understand, given the recent history, and that it's been Chelsea who've normally put us out of a semi or something like that. But for me, it can only ever be Arsenal, and it will always be Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, just a little difference between ourselves and Arsenal, I'm finding at the moment, because I listen to the Arsenal podcast, so you don't have to. And what's happening on there is a lot of their guys are saying that they're really unhappy about the timing of the of this because they felt that they were really on the up, and you know, which is a fair enough comment, but then they go further to say that this is the best squad they've had for years, and they go through their players. I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, I look at their midfield, for example, Xhaka, and they're talking about him being, you know, well, all right, he's had a few bad games, but, you know, he's someone that Arteta will cultivate into a magnificent... And I'm looking at him going, what are you talking about? You've got three players. Leno, who's a good goalie, Aubameyang, and I'd probably put Lacazette up there, but although they're saying that he's off form at the moment. Apart from that, I mean, Bellerin maybe... But, I mean, their centre-backs are awful.
Yeah.
Their midfielders are obviously, you know, that Guendouzi seems like he's a decent enough player, but does he like it on a cold night in Stoke, as they say? And then, you know, but they're so positive, and they call
strange.
Us deluded.
Strange, very strange.
That's why when Arsenal lose, kind of their disbelief is like, I can't believe we've lost to Crystal Palace at home. Yeah, because Crystal Palace have actually got some decent footballers.
Yeah, that's right.
Got Mustafi at the back. So although we're never really surprised when they lose, the look of disbelief on their face, like, I can't believe we'll watch you. We're like, well, we can, because you are rubbish. Who's your favourite ever player?
Never surprised if they lose a silly home game like that. Never surprised if they lose a silly home game nowadays, are we?
No,
you know,
absolutely.
you half expect it, to be honest, when they come up against those difficult sides. And let's face it, this year they've managed to get themselves out of jail on so many occasions at home. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was watching I was watching that Lineker program with Wrighton and Shearer.
Yes,
and he was saying that when you used to go to Arsenal, he would tell the ref, he'd say, look, Keown, Bold and Adams will all try and kick me within the first 10 minutes. Please don't let them get away with it, because, you know, and he said they always did. Something about that high ground, something about those players, I suppose, you know, they sort of kick you and then put their hands behind their back. And I've been saying it for years that when they did that, I used to hate them. Also, out of, you know, that respect of the fact that Adams, Keown and Bold used to kick Spurs all over the park, and you know, like I've always said, as soon as Ramsey got his leg broken, all of a sudden Arsenal just switched overnight and went, oh, we don't kick people, we don't.
Everyone's picking on us.
Thank goodness that they still haven't realised that actually when they used to win games, it's when those horrible sods used to kick people.
Definitely.
They still haven't realised that, which is great. And I know that because I listen to the Arsenal podcast, so you don't have to. Right. What about your favourite ever player?
It can only be one for me, Steve, and it's the master, Glenn Hoddle. You know, I idolised him growing up. That was my era. Used to pretend I was him in the garden, you know, everything about the guy, you know, the ankle tape, you know, the socks, stubbing his toes into the ground. I don't know if you ever remember when you used to watch him, he used to have this habit of kicking his toes into the turf before he'd do something. The guy, I just idolised everything about him, and what a fantastic footballer. And I don't think I've ever seen probably anyone as good as him play the game.
Oh, fantastic. What about your favourite manager?
The real tough one, this. I'm going to go for Keith Birkinshaw. I think what he did for us around those sort of that, you know, late 70s and early 80s really put us on the map as a great, great club again. And the only one who really comes close to him now, I would probably put Poch as my second favourite manager. But Keith and everything he did, you know, back-to-back FA Cups, 84 UEFA Cup, got us promoted, you know, Ozzy and Ricky Velia and that style of football that we started branding ourselves as under him, and really unlucky not to win a title during that time as well, you know, just fell short, injuries and stuff like that have cursed us over the years. But so, you know, Keith for me goes down as my favourite ever Spurs manager.
All right, brilliant. And what about a legendary player?
Well, I'm going to go here for me, my legendary player, and I think we have to remember we're probably, this will probably be looked on in, you know, go 30 years into the future. I think Lionel Messi is one that I think for me now, when you watch that guy, I think he's just on a different planet to everybody else. You know, he's all round game. There's nothing the guy is that weak at. You know, and I think we'll look back probably in 30 years' time and go, he probably was the best footballer we've ever seen. Even just pipping the likes of Maradona, Pele, I still think we'll consider him the greatest of all time. Or, you know, luckily enough, I got to see Maradona in the testimonial at Spurs. And, you know, the stuff he was doing was magical. But for me, Messi will just pip them and he'll go down as my legendary footballer. Lucky enough to say I've seen him play as well in the flesh.
He'll be regarded as the greatest ever player everywhere in the world apart from Argentina.
Yeah.
Still say no, Maradona.
Yeah, that if he could get an international honour under his belt, then, you know, that would really set him apart. But I think those World Cups eluding him at the moment, as you say, in Argentina, they might have a different view. But for me, we'll look back and say that was the best ever footballer we've seen.
Yeah, I think the debate will still rain on about him and Ronaldo, personally. Because, you know, I mean, the debate is as it is now. I think most people say Messi, but then you think about things that Ronaldo can do. I mean, leaping above the crossbar to head goals and things like that. Yeah, wonderful. And what about your favourite ever goalkeeper?
I'm going to go Ray Clements. I'm going to put Ray Clements as my favourite ever. I'd have Lloris a close second behind him. But for me, Clements in that era was just a brilliant goalkeeper, you know, just a great character. You know, I just remember him, you know, constantly walking around on his tiptoes. Don't remember too many mistakes from him. You know, there was the famous one against, you know, Barcelona where it just went straight through his hands. But other than that, a real solid keeper, great character. And again, just around in that era, in lots of success and everything like that. So I put Clements down as my number one goalkeeper.
Tracksuit trousers, socks rolled down over the tracksuit trousers, shiny blue Spurs goalkeeper top when everyone else was wearing green. Yeah. Funnily enough,
shouting away at everyone.
Yeah, I was watching the that 77. Liverpool v Everton semi-final, which I'd never even heard of, but it was one of these semi-final programs on BBC over the weekend, and it was quite interesting. Interesting to me because I'm such a football geek. They were sponsored by Umbro.
Yeah,
Ray Clements playing for Liverpool had an Adidas goalkeeper top on.
Some
good people like Stato would be listening to this. He'll go and have a look at that.
I say the iconic goalkeeper top that you mentioned there is the blue one, but obviously we've all forgotten that at one point we did have a red goalkeeper's jersey that never got sore that often, thankfully, but yeah, iconic blue top, those were the days.
What about a favourite defender?
I'm going to have to put for me, I'm going to have to put Gary Mabbott as my legendary favourite defender. I had a long think about this one, and obviously King is right up there. But for me, the years of service that that guy put in, and obviously what he would go through with his, you know, diabetic, you know, and the injections before games. And he was just a great leader for us. And when I consider all those years he put in, I think I'd put Mabbott up above anyone, and Ledley King a close second, because Ledley was just a Rolls Royce. But for me, Mabsy goes up there.
Not Jason Candy.
I've tried to wipe him playing for us from my memory, to be honest. Yeah, I never want that guy associated with our club ever.
I've got a new theory because he's probably he didn't play very much. I think he only played 28 games for us.
28 games, yeah, one goal.
My theory is that he actually because he was probably the worst footballer I've ever seen at Spurs. I mean, there was one game I remember him just booting the ball up in the air and no direction, and it looked gormless and lost, and was so bad that he and with his reactions now to when a goal goes in against us. I mean, it's almost like the other team Spurs have lost a World Cup match or something. So enthusiastic about Spurs losing. That I reckon maybe halfway through, you know, after 10 or 11 games or whatever, he just thought to himself, do you know what, I'm going to purposely play poorly. Because I don't see how a professional footballer can be so bad.
He was bad. And when you think his only ever goal for us was a massive fluke, wasn't it, at Ipswich that time, you know, where, you know, for a centre-half, you'd expect him to be dangerous at set plays or that, and he was nothing. He really was dreadful.
I mean, he was a terrible, terrible football player for Tottenham. So my new theory is that he was awful on purpose. What about your favourite?
You might be right. You might be right.
Yeah. Who's your favourite ever midfielder?
So it's going to have to go for Glenn again in this category. We've had such a great selection of midfielders to choose from, but I'm going to go Glenn. Say just had it all for me, scored brilliant goals, you know, pass a ball on a 5p piece, and, you know, spin and everything he could do was just a master. But I'm fortunate enough, I can reel off loads and loads of names and say I've seen these people in a Spurs shirt in midfield. But I'm just going to put Glenn above them all, just purely for the fact that, you know, what he could do with a football, and that famous night where he tore Cruyff apart was just amazing. So it'll always be Glenn.
Superb. And what about a favourite striker?
Real interesting one, this. We've had loads that I could think of, but Sheringham, I'm going to pick Teddy. He was someone that, for me, it was just different class. You know, when we had him and, you know, Klinsmann up top, that was just a joy to watch. And he was great even in his second spell for us, wasn't he? So I was gutted when he left. I'd put Teddy there with just people like Lineker and that just falling short of him. So, yeah, he was a legend for me and a real classy player to watch.
Yeah, I mean, funny with Sheringham, when other players have sort of left, I've sort of said, you know, like, goodbye, you mean nothing to me now. Luka Modric comes to mind, Berbatov probably. But with Teddy, I actually almost supported him when he was playing for Man United. And when he would score, I'd almost sort of think, oh, yeah, he's almost doing that for Spurs. Because he was a Spurs fan. You know, he went on Chris Evans' show and I remember him saying he'd never, ever play for Arsenal. And I just think he was at Spurs. He realised, he's a clever guy, realised that he's just not going to win anything. Man United came calling because the Cantona had retired. And, you know, you just can't turn down. This is Man United when they were almost bigger than Man City are now, bigger than Liverpool are now. You know, Man United at the time were just guaranteed to win something.
Yes, right.
Although in his first season he didn't win anything. So the chant, of course, was went to Man United and didn't win anything. So words to a similar effect. And then the next season he won the treble. And like I say, you know, when he scored,
he scored
against Bayern Munich, I almost cheered as if to go, you know, there's a Spurs boy there who's done that.
Yeah, definitely. I remember him, and the one thing I used to love, he did it at Highbury. And again, yes, I think, as you say, that was with us in mind when he mimicked lifting the three trophies just to say to him, there you go, you know, treble, stick that. And as you say, again, the part of me thinks, you know, that was also for us, not just the United fans. That was a two fingers up to them, as for Spurs fans everywhere. Yeah. And as you say, at that time, you know, I hated him leaving, but you understood it because you knew that, you know, this guy should win things. He's that good a footballer. And yeah, so you didn't begrudge it. It was quite funny when it, because we were their first game the following season, weren't we? And he missed a penalty. But I loved the guy, and you know, I was glad he got the success he did at United.
Yeah, brilliant. So what's the first match you ever remember seeing?
So I'm, you know, I'm an early I was late 70s born, and the first game I really remember going to was a home game against Nottingham Forest at White Hart Lane with my dad and mum. And I, for some reason, that game just really sticks out in my memory. You know, I think we won the game 2-0. Hoddle scored, you know, at that point. Hoddle and Crooks scored the goals, two late goals. But I just remember everything about that game, you know, the sights, the sounds, you know, the smells. The walking up to the to go into the ground and seeing that pitch, and like I say, that's a feeling that's never left me. And thankfully, I've got to see my boy and the excitement they get when he gets to do that now and walk out and see that pitch. And for you know, just that one game always sticks with me. And I don't know if you remember, Steve, you know, you used to have things outside the ground, the burgers and that. You used to have a guy shouting, you know, peanuts, get your peanuts. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, just always sticks with me that. And a great, you know, luckily got to see a good win. Wasn't one of our better seasons. But, you know, again, that game just always sticks in the memory. And I spoke, you know, speak to my dad about it. And, you know, he can't remember his first game. So I feel thankful that I can remember that.
Brilliant. What about a match that made you cry?
Well, but it's got to be the 87 Cup final. I was 10, my first Cup final with my dad at Wembley. And I just remember, you know, when the final whistle went against Coventry and you couldn't believe we'd lost, you know, because you just felt we had to turn up on the day and it was ours. And that feeling, I was just devastated. And I think I cried all the way home. You know, you're sitting there thinking you'll never see your team win a trophy again at that point. And that day was a real low day for me. And yeah, just completely gutted. But actually, when you look back on it now, I couldn't appreciate it at the time. But what a fabulous cup final that was. And I can actually look at it now and go, what a game of football. You know, it had everything. You know, first minute goal. That, you know, the underdogs getting the win in the end, you know, it was brilliant, but it made me sob for ages.
Yeah, no, I fear that when they do the, in May, when they, if there's still no football on and on the BBC, they do the FA Cup Final Classics, they'll definitely show that game, won't they?
They will show that one, yeah, yeah. The thing is, though, I could probably watch it now and appreciate the fact that it was a great game of football, yeah. But you know, it still, how we never won it that day is just beyond me.
Yeah, that was a brilliant match. Okay, what about a funny moment in football?
I think following Spurs, you know, you have moments where you just have to laugh. And the one game that just, you know, when it ended, I couldn't do nothing but laugh because otherwise you just pull your hair out, was when we lost 4-3 to Man City in the FA Cup at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Went in 3-0 up at half time. Joey Barton gets himself sent off in the tunnel, as only Joey Barton could do.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, well, this is going to be 6 or 7 now by the end, because we were tearing them apart. And then to suddenly, you know, just come out the second half and Sean Wright Phillips tore us to shreds, couldn't get close to him. And as you see him get one, you think, okay, no problem. They've just got their consolation. They get a second. You think, right, come on, you know, wake up. Third and fourth, and you realize you've lost at the end of it.
Yeah.
You just had to laugh because it was one of them that you just go, this is Spurs all over. It really is. And yeah, I think that's probably one of the funniest games. I think I can look back now and just go, I just had to laugh at the end, even though you should have been angry. I just couldn't.
Yeah. What about a worst game of football you've seen?
So do you know what? The worst, I've really thought about this one. I was going to pick the day we lost 6-1 at White Hart Lane to Chelsea,
yeah.
When Tor André Flo. Yes, right. I mean, it wasn't even their best side at that point.
Christian Gross's absolutely first game at home.
It was, yeah. Ramon Vega scored for us. The less said about him, the better, obviously. But yeah, they murdered us that day. And I remember sitting above the Chelsea fans and just, I had to stay. You know, I'm not one to leave, even if we're losing. You know, just want to try and save some face. Sat there watching this. It was dreadful. But do you know what, Steve? When I think about it, I'm going to go for the Champions League final purely because all the build-up and everything to that game, and knowing how excited my boy was, and to know that within 30 seconds it was all over and gone, and just to see, you know from that point on, you're going to be so disappointed when this final whistle goes. I would put that up there now as my worst game, purely because as a dad, I knew how gutted my son was going to be when that final whistle went. And so that, for me now, I put top of the worst game as a Spurs fan now.
It's certainly the worst game I've ever sat at. Best weekend of my life. flew to Spain. Had a brilliant meal the night before. We got a little bus up, mini bus up there with a load of mates and with my dad. Then we went into the ground. Couldn't get a drink for love nor money, alcoholic or even water. Got in our seat and there's these two blokes sitting behind. Obviously, you know, Spurs guys from London, mid-20s. And I'm sitting there with my dad. You know, neither of us are prudes, but you know, there's an amount of swearing and abuse and everything that you can take, and just from the first minute, just didn't stop, effing and blinding, just constantly. And like I say, yes, there is. You know, I've had a swear up. You know, and there weren't kids around. It wasn't that. It was just this constant in your ear. F-ing this, F-ing ref, doing him, this. I just, at one point, I just did shout, shut up. I didn't turn around to him to say it. I had to just get it out, and my dad was just, my dad was silent throughout the whole game, just shaking his head. Not the performance, but the people behind, and, you know, for all those people that bang on about tourists ruining the game. I mean, I sat next to a Korean bloke at a Liverpool game and we chatted the whole game. Came over 4 days in London, you know, saved up his money from Korea, came over just to watch, you know, his beloved, Heung-min Son and Tottenham.
And
he was a joy. I'd much rather sit next to someone like that or a nice American family who come over and want to watch a soccer game or whatever, rather than these blinging, you know, die-hard Spurs fans. And sorry if you are a die-hard Spurs fan listening to this. I don't want to hear it. The constant swearing, aggression, and it was so unpleasant.
And that's what imagine.
That's what ruined that game for me. And I was talking to obviously Colin we had on last week, and you know, he comes from overseas to support his team. What's the difference between him coming over to support his team and someone from Korea coming over? Well, you know, I think we all know the difference, don't we? You know, if you say, someone tweeted a couple of months ago, you know, what do you mean, I hate tourists or whatever, come in and say, so what do you mean by tourists? And he actually had the gumption to say, oh, these Koreans. And I was like, I can't engage with you. It's just flat-out racism, and that's what it is.
Do you want to know the thing is, though, Steve, is what I think they forget sometimes is that when you think of the money that's been spent to come and see that one game, you realise that you've got to have some passion to have done that. And when you go in the Spurs shop on them games, the money being spent by those, as you say, the Koreans that are coming over in the club shop, the money the club must be earning from that sort of side of the business is phenomenal, because these guys are walking around with tracksuits, kits, the lot. I mean, they must be spending easily £300-400 to come and see one game. So, you know, they're putting a lot in, and I don't think many other people would travel that sort of distance just to go and see a game of football.
Absolutely. You know, and you're telling me that you're sitting there and you know, you start a song and all these, you know, tourists are looking around going, oh, what's this? They know the song's better than you. Stop worrying about it. It's a myth. Absolute myth.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, What about the? Have you ever been at a game that scared you, or been down a pub and you've been a bit scared?
So I'll go back to the 87 game, because we got tickets in the Spurs end, and at that point, obviously, it was all standing. So we get into the ground. My dad sets me up against one of the bars there, you know, and we're standing there waiting for the game. But obviously, during the build-up, what was obviously happening was stewards on that Spurs end weren't really checking tickets at that point. And obviously, the end was filling up and filling up. And all of a sudden, you know, I could see my dad starting to panic, and all of a sudden I started getting pushed more and more against the bar. And at one point I really had this real fear that, you know, he was going to get crushed. And I can remember my dad really fighting to, you know, pull me away from the bar and get me out of that end. And we managed to get out, and he managed to swap his tickets with another couple of Spurs fans who had seats in the side and of the side parts of the ground. But I remember the fear, and also seeing the fear in my dad's eyes, and getting out and finally getting to them seats and just being like, wow, that was mental what was going on in there. It was dangerous, but obviously that was that time of football. You know, there wasn't the ticket check-in, and obviously wasn't all seater. So that probably happened to numerous people in games, you know. But that was one game where I really come away and was actually scared. And you know, I've never actually felt like that at any other game at any point. But that one day sticks in my mind.
Is there a player that you used to love but you don't anymore?
Cool, that's a really good question. It's obviously got to be the one and only Sol Campbell. You know, when he was with us, you know, I really, you know, thought he was a brilliant footballer, really loved him. You know, he was a solid centre half, and we'd never really had too many of them, you know, over our years. And then when he did what he did, I can sit back now and kind of go, you know what, there's times where I can sit there and think, okay, he went off to go and win things. But I guess just the way he did it and who he went to, and I could never look at that guy again, and, you know, can never look at highlights of him scoring or playing for us with any joy, because you know what's coming. So I think I've got to put Sol at the top of that list.
Yeah, very strange. I mean, I go and see Southend. Admittedly, I haven't been that much this season because it literally has been so bad. And also, I still go, but the games have coincided with Spurs games, so I haven't been able to go as much. But to say, you know, when a new manager comes in, there should be sort of a revitalised team or whatever. It's just very, very strange.
You know. No positivity when he comes in at all.
Just very, but very strange. I think all the players are thinking, who is this bloke? You know, footballing ability, fantastic. But, you know, we know that he said some very strange things in the media. Things that just aren't true, you know. Saying that he wasn't the England captain because of the colour of his skin, when Rio Ferdinand was the England captain for, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
You know, and like we mentioned racism earlier, you know, proper racism is something that I absolutely abhor. It's something that is very, very, almost top of my list of things that I hate the most. But when people claim racist things, It devalues the actual racist thing.
That's right.
And that's
even
worse. Spot on. So, you know, because the racist, if you like, clamber onto that. Go, oh,
yeah,
everything's
right.
Racist. No, it's just, stop claiming that's racist. Because the people that are going to go, everything's racist, are going to say that, and it's not.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work.
He's obviously got a real chip on his shoulder, isn't he, about certain things. And it's really silly.
Thing is, he was right with what he did in terms of moving clubs. He did it all in the wrong way.
Yeah.
But that's all he has to say. He just has to say,
exactly.
I was at Spurs, we won the League Cup, but Arsenal were bigger. I won loads of things at Arsenal. I think I made the right choice. As Spurs fans, we'd probably go, no, you did it all in the wrong way. But just have comfort in the fact that he probably did the right thing for winning trophies. But what he shouldn't have done, of course, was said, I'm never leaving. And, you know, you could have joined other clubs. Anyway, what player do you actually defend because you think he's quite good, whereas everybody else thinks he's rubbish?
Yeah, again, I wrap my brain over this one, and I can't think of over the years too many that I kind of had to do that with. The more recently, though, I think obviously, you know, the guy said some silly stuff at certain times, but Danny Rose was one, and Toby Alderweireld, when obviously when the contract stuff was going on, lots of people turned against them, but that they were still putting in to a certain degree really good performances on the pitch, you know, especially Toby with his passing and everything like that. So I kind of, you know, found myself defending those two recently. You know, Danny maybe shouldn't have said what he did to the Sun, but he gave an honest opinion, and I think it was an opinion that there were lots of Spurs supporters out there at the time were thinking. He just wasn't the brightest to go and do it the way he did it, but he was still performing. Unfortunately, this year he you know, say as the term goes, dropped off a cliff massively, and you know, not sure what happened to the guy this season. But those are the two players that I can really think of having to defend, and you know, kind of say they're still putting in some really good performances, even though lots of people had turned on them.
Yeah, no, good. And what about final question then? Oh no, actually, we'll do a little. We've got a final question coming up. We'll do Jason McGovern's question. What was your first ever kit?
My first ever kit was the nice plain 80s Spurs shirt, which is, you know, nowadays would just be seen as too boring, but I think lots of supporters are going back to that way, which was just a pure cockerel in the middle of the shirt, V-neck, you know, plain white shirt, had a sort of shiny look to it. Brilliant kit that was. My next kit, so my all-time favourite kits were always the Hummel 86, 87 kits. But the first kit I owned was the Lecoptif, I think it was. Brilliant kit, absolute brilliant. And an iconic kit for Spurs.
All right, great. And what's your favourite match of all time? So aliens come down and they say, what is football? What is this football you're talking about? And you hand them a DVD and you say, watch this. This is football. What match are you showing them?
I guess I would say the aliens, probably my wife, Steve, because she looks at me every week and says, I just don't get this. But I would have to show her the 4-4 Spurs Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium, just for the fact that, you know, that game for us kind of had everything, you know, from the, you know, jaws of defeat, and in the end getting that last minute equaliser and the emotion and coming away feeling like we'd won the game. I would probably have to show her that and say, look, this is end to end. Look at the passion, the feeling of desperation at one point, the feeling of pure joy at the next. Just a great game of football. And one of the only ones I think comes close to it was the recent Man City Champions League game. And again, just for emotion and 1 minute up, 1 minute down, 1 minute up, 1 minute down, twists and turns, that game. But the 4-4 would be the first one I'd put on.
Brilliant. Okay. Right, mate. Well, is there anything else you know about what's currently going on with transfer speculation? There's the Levy thing. Anything that you want to say about any of that?
No, I'm obviously just glad that we, you know, the club have come to their senses, if you like, and agreed to change the furlough situation. You know, I think that's great for those staff that are now going to get paid. You know, it's nice to see that a club like us with the financial situation we've got can do that for their staff. Obviously, no one knows where we'll be when this all ends, do we? So we can only hope that, you know, we've been put in the right position financially, so we'll be okay. And just have to hope that when this kicks off again, we can get going under Jose and kindly, you know, start moving in the right direction and change it all around and the good times come back. Because I don't think we're that far away. And that's just hope that the move to make to get Jose in and that turns out to be a winner. Because I think it's, you know, could get very ugly if it turns out to be the wrong decision.
Yeah, no, obviously we'd be nearly at the end of the season now, wouldn't we?
Would have been Arsenal, yeah, coming up at the new stadium. And I think that would have been a real game where we'd see that stadium rocking at one point. I think that was the one team that we've been disappointed not to see there yet. And I think that everyone would up their game for that one, and the noise that would have been coming out of there would have been tremendous to be at.
Yeah. That's the thing, we haven't had that. We had the Man City game, the first one, and then obviously the league game. But we haven't had that stadium rocking yet. Lost to West Ham, lost to Chelsea, lost to Liverpool. We haven't had United there yet. We haven't had Arsenal there yet. You know, the other games, Ajax, we lost. So we haven't really had that that big catalyst, if you like, to get that.
That's right. We're waiting for that spark, aren't we? Yeah. That spark game, you know, if you could get another Harry Kane goal like one of the last ones at White Hart Lane against that lot, then I think the noise will blow the roof off.
It will, absolutely. And, you know, it's a bit of a myth to say that, again, another myth that White Hart Lane was always rocking. It wasn't. It was rocking in the last season because we won every game. But, you know, for the 20 years before that, there were plenty of quiet games.
I can remember going many of my years as a season ticket holder where you could hear a pin drop through games. And like, as you say, people do have this myth that White Hart Lane was always rocking and always singing, you know, non-stop for 90 minutes. It wasn't.
No. So, but, you know, we'll see where we get on when football resumes. Right, mate. Well, that was brilliant. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Really enjoyed that, Steve.
Have you got any more podcasts coming up?
So we're looking to get back into the Coyers podcast soon. So, you know, if you've subscribed, then we're going to throw one out your way soon. I think we've just been having a little bit of a break while there's not been too much to discuss. But yeah, hopefully soon we'll be coming back and we're going to try and get some special guests involved again. And obviously, you know, we like to get yourself on every now and then. So yeah, keep your ears open and we'll be back soon.
Brilliant. All right, mate. Well done.
Nice one, Steve.
Cheers. Come on,
you Spurs. See you, mate. Bye, mate. Come on, you Spurs.